Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
We would like to welcome you to another episode of TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast designed to help clients navigate and prioritize via insights from top legal advisors in strategic technology markets. Today, we will be discussing OECD's Pillar 2 and what TMT companies need to consider in light of its recent developments. I am joined by Miles Humphrey and Alan Tan. Miles is a partner based in New York who specializes in international aspects of U.S. tax law and the interactions with UK European tax law. Alan, on the other hand, is a partner in our Singapore office who has extensive experience working with both international and regional tax issues in the Asia-Pacific region. Miles, Alan, what has happened recently on Pillar 2?
I think a lot has happened recently on Pillar 2. Importantly, many countries, including all of the European Union, have decided to proceed with the initiative, and that will start to impact clients from 2024 onwards, so not very far away. And Alan will touch on some of the Asian jurisdictions' progress in implementing Pillar 2. So whilst the countries are proceeding, the OECD continues to provide us with updates and additional guidance commentary on the Pillar 2 rules. So if we look at what has happened just since towards the end of last year, we got three or four documents that considers further detail on what the reporting of Pillar 2 will look like on a go-forward basis. And obviously clients are very interested in what data they are required to gather for the purposes of computing Pillar 2, but also what then gets reported and shared with relevant jurisdictions around the globe. We got a framework on how dispute resolution will be handled in Pillar 2. And obviously clients will be very interested and aware that the complexity of Pillar 2 will lead naturally, I think, to more disputes. And there was some guidance given on how dispute resolution will be handled in Pillar 2. We got some good news in that what we got at the end of last year was, and we'll touch on this a bit later as well, was the transitional safe harbor rules. That's the OECD giving clients a soft landing over the next few years as a way of minimizing the complexity and the calculations required under the rules. And those safe harbors can benefit clients for the next 3 years in some instances, and that's very interesting for clients. And then recently, at the start of this month, we got more guidance on some of the areas that clients have been asking questions of the OECD. So people will remember that the initial framework of the model rules was a relatively short document. And we got more guidance on some of the key questions that people have had over the last year. And I expect that there will be further releases from the OECD on that as well.
Thank you, Cyril and Miles. Well, I think in Asia Pacific, quite a lot has been happening recently. As you know, Singapore announced our 2023 budget on Valentine's Day, 14th of February. The Minister for Finance gave an update on Singapore's progress on the Pillar 2 discussion. We will be introducing Pillar 2 tools such as the QDMTT, the IAR in 2025. I think there's been a lot of speculation when Singapore will actually introduce a domestic top-up tax, especially since a lot of multi M&Es actually have that fiscal incentives operating in Singapore. So Singapore is one of the highly watched jurisdictions. Now, of course, if we look at some of our neighboring countries, Malaysia in their budget last year announced implementation in 2024. We haven't seen any update there. Although Hong Kong, shortly after the Singapore announcement, also announced 2025. I think the biggest surprise in Asia has been South Korea, which codified their Pillar 2 legislation in December and expressed a possibility of introducing or implementing UTPR in 2024. I think that gets quite a lot of people excited. But whether South Korea would proceed with that timeline, I think this is something that countries will all watch quite carefully. I think the last couple of weeks has been pretty exciting for Asia Pacific, even though a lot of eyes were really on what's happening in the EU.
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, Alan. How do you think clients should react to these developments?
That's a good question. So I think I would look at it in the, you know, I said one of the things we got was the transitional safe harbor document, and that those transitional safe harbors are important for clients because where clients can rely on them, they can remove some of the complexity of the rules for an initial period of 3 years. So that they are the key one, I think, in the transitional safe harbors is we've been given a simplified effective tax rate test that uses data that clients should already be preparing for country-by-country reporting. And I think clients should spend some time looking at those rules to understand how many jurisdictions that they can apply that transitional safe harbor to minimize some of the initial impact of Pillar 2 applying. Outside of that, I think people have to look at all of the releases from the OECD and think about whether how those releases impact the modeling that they've already done. Because I think it's fair to say that some of the guidance that came out of the OECD, in particularly at the start of this month, expanded some of the scope of the provisions, particularly provisions that applies to transactions that clients may have done between November 2021 and say today. So I think understanding what the expansion of some of those provisions means for clients is very important because it not only impacts them on a go-forward basis, but may impact some of the transactions that they've already done. So I do think, you know, as I said, 24 is when these rules start to apply, and that's not that far away. So clients really need to get on top of the impact of all these developments so they can put their best foot forward.
So how should clients react to the developments? I think the client have been really watching what the various governments in Asia Pacific are doing and planning to do. I think companies have been waiting for public consultation, waiting for draft legislation and guidance to be published. I think with all these announcements that we see in the recent budgets, example in Singapore and Hong Kong, I think companies are now waking up to the fact that 2025 is not that far away. And with EU implementing in 2024 and potentially Korea having UTPR in 2024, the planning starts today. And we have started to see a flurry of activities, both from the M&Es as well as large Singapore companies who are affected by this potential Pillar 2 implementation. I think this is certainly going to gather a lot more steam as countries start to mull over the recent OECD announcements on the administrative guidance, as well as the CBCR safe harbor rules that came out in December. I think all this will have implications on the planning for M&Es.
Thank you, Miles. Thank you, Alan. When do clients actually need to react, Miles and Alan?
And again, a very good question, and you know, might not be a very popular answer here, but I think clients do have to react now, both because I think some of the, and as Alan referred to, some of these countries' rules start to impact clients sooner than maybe expected, and in the majority of cases, at least in some instances, in 2024. So, you know, that's not that far away. The rules, as we all know, are complicated. And I think clients do need to start taking action now to make sure that they are not only aware of what the Pillar 2 outlook for them looks like, but also if they can, if they want to avail themselves of the transitional safe harbors, you know, maybe there are some things that require action today to make sure that those safe harbors apply from next year. So I do think clients need to start doing things now, really.
The reaction has been pretty quick. And I think companies really need to react now because there will be internal engagements as well as external engagements. For the M&E groups, they will need to be internal alignment on their structure, on their supply chain, on how the Pillar 2 implementation would affect their compliance and how they do business. And externally, M&Es will need to think about how to engage the relevant stakeholders in the jurisdictions that they operate in. So for example, if you're operating in Singapore and you have fiscal incentive, you need to engage the economic agencies such as the EDB or Enterprise Singapore. If you're operating in Malaysia, you need to think about engaging agencies such as MIDA. And I think all this engagement will take time. So reacting now will be critical because we need time to work out a plan and time to implement it.
Thank you very much, Miles, and thank you very much, Alan, for your time today.